If memory serves me correctly, this area, this province, was the center of activity for the Thuggee.
Dr. Jones, you know perfectly well the Thuggee cult has been dead for nearly a century.
Hello, and welcome to Take 127 on Shipful of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. Welcome to the show, gentle, humble cineasts. Let me introduce the team. My name is Dan, I am your host and master of ceremonies. Directly over there in front of me, looking resplendent, I say, is...
It's Mike, here again. You can't get rid of me. And happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, to... Who?
To us.
Really?
Is that a year old?
We're a year old.
Woo! Happy birthday to us.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to raise a cup of tea.
Now, if we'd thought about it, we'd have party popper sounds, couldn't we?
Yes.
But we didn't.
Or we could have had a show about birthdays.
Yes. But even better. That would have been a good theme, wouldn't it? Birthdays.
Well, I'll tell you what, should we cancel this then?
Yeah, okay.
And go away and start.
We could pick some better films that way, probably.
Yes, we could. We certainly could. To the left, it is the one, the only.
I'm Mark at Lancaster, and I'm... twiddling some knobs, sliding some sliders, and making inane comments from time to time.
I don't be modest there all the time.
All right. And betwixt Mark and Mike is an empty chair where Jo would normally be sitting.
Yes, I'm afraid she's working, so she's doing important film stuff.
Yes,
which is obviously
indeed.
Much more important than what we do.
Very important film stuff. So unfortunately, Jo's not able to be with us tonight. Mm. So yet again... Joe's chosen an awful film.
Yeah.
And isn't
game
here,
away, yeah.
And
they've
isn't
done a runner.
Here to explain herself, damn it. but there we are. So, one or two of you may have heard the little audio clip at the beginning of the intro music, and you will have recognised that that was from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And it's related to the theme of this month's show, which is... cult movies. Now,
excellent.
Not cult movies, no. As in movies that have got a cult following,
but
movies
about cults.
So that's, that's what we're talking about. There's lots of whispery stuff going on. What am I missing out on?
Mike, can I borrow your bit of paper with the music on again, please? Thank you. I was trying to be all professional and do it all.
I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't see you.
Okay.
Right,
so I can cue up the record, that's all.
Okay. Oh, dear. This is my synopsis.
No. Okay, don't worry. Just flash it to me quick, and then I can have a look. Hang on.
Do you want to know what the first piece of music is as well?
I do apologise, listeners, for all of this.
Okay, I've got it.
I mean, by rights, if these guys were even remotely professional, they would have sorted all of this out before we started
the record button. But I forgot.
See, it all falls apart without Joe, doesn't it?
It does. She's a calming influence.
She's a responsible
adult.
She's a hub we all...
Yes.
I think the responsible adult is the thing that we look towards, isn't it? Because we obviously aren't and never have been and never will be.
You know what? I've got a crazy idea. Let's talk about some films.
Really?
Yes.
No,
I know. I know we don't want to, but we must. Okay, so yes, the theme is movies about cults. And with that, we are going to go straight over to my esteemed colleague, Mike, so that he can talk about the first movie that we're going to discuss tonight.
Okay, thank you, Dan, for that big lead-in, and I hope I don't disappoint you.
You never do.
Oh, you say the kindest things. Anyway, let me take you back, listener, to 1999, the year this film was made. And what a marvellous year for films that was. Films like Eyes Wide Shut, reviewed only just recently. Yeah. The Matrix, what a wonderful film. I've just written American down here, but I...
American Beauty, probably?
That's the one.
Oh, yes.
1999 won the Oscar. deservedly, probably.
What a year.
Sixth Sense, also 99.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I thought that was,
and
I thought that
it
was
gets
it,
better and better. Fight Club. Huh. Magnolia. Oh. And on top of all that, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes.
Holy Smoke. Mm. Holy, oh, dear. And it just went downhill that year, didn't it? And do you know what's even worse? Holy Smoke with an exclamation mark. It's Holy Smoke. As yes, though it's, and that kind of gives you a clue that it might be a bad film. But anyway, don't let me put you off. I'll do a synopsis. It's Jane Campion made it, who's made some other films, I believe. Anyway.
Yes, she has.
Quite successfully, I seem to remember.
Yeah, sure, she won an Oscar and stuff, but, you know.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
So she's been resting.
I said that for Joe's. Hopefully she might listen to that and she won't be able to hit
seek
me.
You out and kill you. I'm there's, sure, there's hope for us all.
I'm sure Joe will be laughing when she,
oh, I'm
that,
sure she will. She'll be, yes, chuckling. Yes. Chuckling. Anyway, shall I continue the synopsis?
Well, please, please do. Well, could you start the synopsis?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Kate Winslet. She's on. She's a student or something. She's on a trip to India. Hmm. And while she's in India, and this is right at the start of the film, she decides she loves it there so much, she's been involved in some kind of, well, it's not really a cult, I think, but some religious movement, and there's a, like a guru she wants to, and she wears saris and burns joysticks and things like that, so kind of shows you what kind of hippie stuff it is. And she wants to stay, she burns her airline ticket, and she wants to stay. Anyway, her family back home in Australia. Oh, yes, Kate Winslet with her Australian accent. It's that bad, listener. They get wind of it, and they come up with a cunning plan to get her back because they don't want her out in India with this, what they perceive as, cult. Their cunning plan is to say that her dad is terminally ill and he's going to die soon, so she needs to come back to see him. Anyway, so the mother goes out with this cunning plan, and then fortuitously, Kate Winslet don't want to come back, even though her dad is dying, so she's told she's not going to come back. But then, oh dear, her mum has an asthma attack, very bad, and is sent home on the plane, and Kate Winslet accompanies her. Mm. Therefore, we get through the first preamble of the movie, she's back now in Australia. Second part of the movie, the family decide to hire an American a cult deprogrammer or something to come in and talk out of whatever she believes.
What don't they call them? Cult exit counselors.
An exit counselor, yeah. Okay. Exit, mm, yes. If you want to actually say what's on written on the back of the books, then you go ahead. But I'd say cult deprogrammer, but. Anyway, and that's Harvey Keitel, mm, doing what only Harvey can, like take his trousers off at every opportunity. So anyway, that's the basic setup, and it's really what happens to Harvey Keitel, Kate Winslet, which is the bulk of the movie. Mm. So that's not a bad synopsis, really, is it, Dan?
It's not bad, no. You've
that's
done
okay,
very well,
wasn't it? That's okay.
Yeah.
So, would you like to comment, or shall I tell you my comments of this marvellous movie?
Is it worth mentioning what the tone of the film is?
Because I'm not sure of the tone.
I don't think I am, either, really.
I found it to be quite comedic, because the Australians do a good comedy, and it was quite comedic for big sections of it, which is not what I was expecting at all, but it was quite nice. And then for the second half of the movie, it stops being comedic and it turns into something else entirely.
I think you're right. I think it's meant to be comedic, but I don't recall like comedy bits at all. I just found the tone quite confusing, to be honest. I really didn't know. Yeah, she didn't really nail it to the mast. What she was meant to be making.
No. For me, I thought the first half was. Didn't like it much, and was just a shambles. It's incoherent mess. It was absolutely dreadful. We've reviewed some stinkers on the show in the last year, but this could take you know, top prize for being that bad. I hated it with a passion.
Oh, okay. Wow. It's quite... Well, it's good you had such a a reaction.
Shall I tell you why? I mean, I'm not just saying this out of...
Please.
So, I think there's one successful joke, actually, where the Hardy Keitel is this... Whatever Dan said he was.
Exit counselor.
Exit counselor. He's like the top exit counselor in the world. Hmm. In the world. And they pay him like $10,000 or whatever it is.
About 5p in English money. And thing, well, right?
Yeah. Like Australian dollars, yeah. But then there's a joke there where the dad says, okay, what about the second best in the world? I thought, that's not a bad joke. Anyway, they get Harvey Keitel in, and for the second half of the movie, all the plot they set up, which I don't like that much, but give them their due, what they set up, they just put it in the bin and forget that totally. Mm. They set Kate Winslet up as getting involved in this cult, which seems quite a nice cult, actually. Mm. They wear saris and dance around a bit and eat nice food and be jolly happy and nice to each other. So it's not like a bad cult. And perhaps that was some of the satirical aspect of the film, maybe, that her family back in Australia are far, far worse than the cult. Mm. Maybe that was a satirical aim they had, and maybe that worked. Pity it was such a mess. That message was just, you can maybe interpret that as a theme, but it was just a shambles.
I read it as being a film about manipulation more than anything else, because you started off with possibly Kate Winslet's been manipulated into joining this cult, and then she's been manipulated into coming back to Australia, and then, I mean, I don't know if you should do spoilers or not, but it's, you know,
you're not going to be able to spoil this film, but then
you know, there's obviously the manipulation of Harvey Keitel, who starts thinking, oh, I quite fancy her. And then there's the manipulation of Kate Winslet to Harvey Keitel later on, and it's all about that rather than, I think that's maybe what she was driving at, but it wasn't, I don't think it was particularly clear that that's what, you know, the thing that really annoyed me, and this sounds a bit trite really, but, and I've noticed this, I've seen quite a few of those Australian films from the 70s and early 80s, they've got a very strange way of recording sound. The dialogue is very dead. It sounds like it's almost been dubbed on afterwards to me. The reason I picked up on it, because it started to annoy me, I thought, something not quite right. But when I look back to hearing films like Picnic at Hanging Rock and all those films that were made in Australia around that, and they used to show them on BBC Two late at night on a Friday and Saturday night, they always had that kind of weird sound quality, and I don't know why, but it really, really resonated with me. And I started to get distracted by the way the dialogue was recorded.
Well, I'm jealous that you had something to distract you.
Yeah. I think it was because there was no reverb on the vocal performance at all. It was all very dead, and so it was like it was very clinical. And that's what she meant to do that, and that was the whole point of being detached. I don't know. I don't think it was that clever, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I took from that the acting is in parts atrocious.
Oh, Kate Winslet's not her best performance, is it?
No.
I mean, I quite like Kate Winslet, but I don't think she's particularly good in
this. The Australian family are... I mean, you've seen better acting on, like, Neighbours and stuff. It's just atrocious. And there's such a lot of stereotypes. The gay couple.
Yeah.
It's hideous. Like the dad who's in his swim trunks having a can of beer because that's what Australian men do. It's just awful. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to say Jane Campion, you haven't got a clue what men are like. It's out there. I'm safe without Joe next to me, you see.
I was quite offended at how they, I mean, offended, no, it
would have to been a better film to be offended by it, because it's just trash.
I didn't hate it as much as you, but I was immensely bored by it. I looked to see how long was left after about 15 minutes. and I checked on a number of occasions how much longer have we got, how much longer have we got, because I just found it really dull.
Yeah.
And the Harvey Keitel character, he was a hideous, and that I didn't like any of the characters.
No,
there was no one really, because the mother, obviously they cared about her daughter, but none of those were very nice either. And her sister was appalling as well. She was really the Kate Winslet was very unsympathetic to anybody apart from what she wanted.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fact she was moved by this cult, I want to do this because it's different, and that's what she seemed to.
But then that's the thing that I did like about it, was the fact
you
that
liked something.
I liked something. Ooh. About it, yeah. Which is the fact that initially you think, well, why has she gone into this cult thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
And then as soon as you see the family and the extended family and the friends and the way they behave, yeah, and what awful people they
maybe
are,
that was
you kind of think
solace
to yourself, yeah, I can understand now why she ran away and wanted to go and find some peace and quiet and you know, some inner peace.
And in fact,
I mean, this isn't... you know what? I don't care about spoilers with this movie.
Because it's 20 years
it's
old.
Awful. It's 20 years old. And
it's
also
awful.
We're going to say to you listeners, don't watch
don't
it.
Don't watch it.
But at the end, she ends up going back to India.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't go back to the cult, but she goes back to try and find herself. And she reads the...
Anyone wants a DVD? I've got one that you can borrow. We can
Bagpuss Vita or whatever it is. She reads all these.
They've just offended 1 million, 1 billion people in the world by saying the Bagpuss Vita.
No, but that's another thing. It's equating Buddhism, Hinduism, with a cult.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's not.
No,
I actually was offended by that.
That's true.
Yeah.
If it had been a better made film, I think I would have been far more offended.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a Hindu tattoo on my arm. I'm not a Hindu, but I actually respect a lot of those Eastern religions.
I've got one as well.
Yeah, if I show you, off the show. Let's get gone off there. But it is an offensive way to look at Hinduism, Buddhism.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, see, this is the thing. The family are awful people. And in the end, everybody's trying to save her. She ends up kind of pretty much saving Harvey Keitel to some extent. She gives him some direction, as it were. And then she carries on going off to try and find her own way in life. So she has a bit of a happy ending, but it's via the medium of a film that is universally very poor. And I wasn't keen on it at all. Same as Mark. I didn't, not 15 minutes for me, but an hour in. I was like, oh God, how much longer are this baps?
It's about an hour in that it just goes massively down off the rails.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. And mainly, I would say, the biggest reason, it just chucks the characters away. Kate Winslet then doesn't care about the religion she's picked up. She's just like a mean woman. And Harvey Keitel, who's the best exit counselor in the world, he gets into a gibbering wreck because Kate Winslet drops her drawers. I mean, it's like, you know.
Well, that's the other thing I found. I didn't get was there was lots of gratuitous nudity from both Kate Winslet and Harvey Keitel that wasn't necessary, and I don't know what it was there for.
Yeah.
And you think, well, someone of Jane Campion, you think, you know, she meant, I don't know why she used it, and I really found that quite strange because it wasn't necessary to forward the plot. Mm. It was just there.
So I think the plot did not exist on the first hour.
So I think we've reached a conclusion here, haven't we? Mike, yes or no?
Oh,
holy smoke! Exclamation
I don't
mark.
Need to say, do I?
Okay. Mark, yes or no?
No, definitely not.
No, and that's definitely not from me as well. And in Joe's absence, I would imagine she would probably say no, definitely not also.
I don't know.
No, that's complete lie. I'm just saying that to annoy her if she
listens to
this.
That's fair enough.
Right, shall we jump to a little bit of music?
Yes.
Mike, may I hand over to
you? Well, usually, for the whole year, we've been playing music from the films. And this film annoyed me so much, I did not want any thought of the film at all. So for this month only, I've gone for a cult theme for the music. No, so not from the movies, but just a cult theme. And we're going to start with a little slab of post-punk from a band called Cult Hero. And it's I'm a Cult Hero.
That again, Mike?
That was Cult Hero. I'm a Cult Hero.
Okay.
Forerunner to the Cure, that was.
Really?
Yep, it certainly was.
Well.
Kind of a step between Easy Cure and the Cure was Cult Hero. Robert Smith on guitar.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you then?
No idea. I haven't got the faintest. Isn't Robert Smith the one that wears
with
the
hair? With the hair.
The hair and makeup.
And
yeah.
Do you see how it fits as well? Carvey Keitel wear red lipstick.
Carvey Keitel. Look at that. Anyone have thought you'd done it on purpose.
Incredible. There's a method to your madness, isn't there?
And Robert Smith wears a dress on occasion.
He does indeed.
As so did Harvey Keitel.
Well,
anyway, let's not talk about that film anymore.
No, distasteful.
Right.
So,
what a bad
in Joe's absence, her absence is felt very strongly.
Mm.
I am going to do the synopsis for the next movie. Now, this is another film involving a cult, and it is called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. Directed by Sean Durkin and written by Sean Durkin. It's from 2011. Stars Elizabeth Olsen as Martha, Sarah Paulson as Lucy, who is Martha's sister, and Hugh Dancy as Ted, Lucy's husband. And there's some other people in it as well. What can you say about this film? So, what basically the idea is that the character's name is Martha, and she becomes involved in a cult that is very, very clearly based on Charles Manson. And she becomes involved. And this guy who leads the cult, a guy called Patrick, played by John Hawkes, as the first time he sees her, he looks at her and he says, "You look to me like a Marcy May." And so that's it. From that point onwards, her name is now Marcy May, all the while that she's in the cult. And some events happen which cause her to run away. And she manages to find a phone, phones up her sister who comes to collect her and takes her to her summer house where she and her husband live. And the majority of the film is her with her sister and the sister's husband basically trying to find a bit of grounding, trying to make sense of what she's gone through. And most of the movie is flashbacks to her time in the cult and the things that happened there. The Marlene part comes from the fact that there were some instructions written on the wall by the telephone in the cult house, which basically say that if ever anybody phones up and one of the women in the cult answer the phone, they must say that their name is Marlene. So that's where we get Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
You only found that out when you read the synopsis, didn't you? I never got that from the film.
I picked it up in the film like that, like that, clear as day.
Yeah, you're such a fibber, Dan.
So, this film is interesting because the whole thing, because you keep seeing these flashbacks to what happens in the cult, and the kind of like the fact that the cult leader sleeps with all of the women, and it's kind of a rite of passage they go through, that they're essentially raped.
Sleeps is a bit of a, he rapes them, doesn't it?
Absolutely, drugged and raped. You keep going back.
I think it's
to
pretty clear it's rape.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is not.
You keep going back to that, and you go back to the fact that they go out in small groups, just as Charles Manson did. They go out in small groups and they break into the houses of rich people to steal stuff so that they can continue to eat. Mm. And one of these particular break-ins ends badly, and that's the catalyst which makes Martha actually leave the group. But these things, as things gradually get worse in flashback, you become aware that she is kind of losing her grip on reality, and she is concerned that they're trying to track her down and that they're going to come and take her away or kill her. Although, of course, you're never fully sure whether that's really happening. So there's a great thing going on where there's this just constant threat, this constant shadow over her that, what if they're coming to get me? And so there's kind of like, you would think that that would really build up some tension. Fantastic idea, building up this tension. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's let down slightly by the fact that nothing really happens. Mm. The questions are never really answered. Mm. And ultimately, what is a very, very good idea, it's just done quite badly.
Yeah.
And the film is dull.
Dull as ritual.
So dull.
Dull.
It starts off well.
Yeah, I might have a slight difference, because I didn't find it dull. I found it confusing times. It was quite hard to get a grip on what timeline was being followed or whatever. I found her sister and her brother-in-law were talking about how she's going mad, she's going off the rails, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't really get how they came to that conclusion. Mm. Skinny dipping. Well, whoopee dee, that's mad, isn't it? What a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, a nice holiday, perfectly lovely holiday.
And then there's a couple other things that happened when she didn't really do anything particularly bad. And they're going, oh, you've done such a mad thing. You didn't talk to someone. You think, well, no, and I found them really, really objectionable, those two characters, a sister in particular. And then obviously Ted was a horrible man. Really manipulative and nasty, and almost mirroring the supposed cult. Although they did bad things, and he was a nasty man, but within that group of people, she had some love there because there were people there that cared for her, and there was a family, which is probably the point. And she was outside of this, her real family. She was outside of, and so I found that quite confusing to put up. Why she was being criticised by her real family about this outlandish behaviour when she wasn't really doing anything wrong. And I liked her character. I thought she was quite a strong character. And that was the first film with Elizabeth Olsen. I thought she was brilliant in it. Really good. I think the acting was very strong. Oh, yeah. I like the way it was shot. I really like the way it was shot. Yes, not a lot happened. I do totally agree with that. And the ending was ambiguous, but I think that was meant to be ambiguous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was quite a nice touch because you didn't really know what was happening there. And I thought I'd seen it before and I didn't particularly like it the first time. And I wasn't really looking forward to watching it again. Actually, quite enjoyed it. So it's a, and I would probably go back and see it again, see if I could see anything more in it at some point.
Okay. Interesting.
Mike's making a growling noise.
There's a bit before I pass over to Mike. There is something interesting here. I think it's got a definite, apart from the obvious, it's got a definite link to Holy Smoke, which is you do start to wonder whether the main protagonist has been driven to a cult. Because family are just so bloody awful.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And so, yeah, there is...
I hadn't picked that up while watching both of them, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I think that, in particular, in Martha's... she'd never met Ted before, because before she'd gone away, her sister wasn't married, and she never met Ted before, had she?
No.
But he was such an awful man, self-obsessed and... It's all about possession and money and what people thought about him and his wife. And he was just a dreadful person.
Yeah.
You might be right. Was she driven away by her family to find solace somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. But then, you know, to be fair, that's probably the case with most people that join a cult. They're not going to be...
They're unhappy for some reason, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. They're not going to have a happy... personal life necessarily. So, Mike, I'd like to hear what you thought of this movie, Mary, Mungo, and Midge,
as it should now always be called.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's very good compared to like Holy Smoke, who's just a total stinker. This is quite interesting in the sense that you get the sense that they're trying to pull off something quite good. I think it's very poorly executed. I don't think it's a good film. I think the script is poor. The actors they're all good actors. They all sit around with nothing to do, really, for half the film. I mean, like Sarah Paulson, who's really good, really just sits about on a deck chair looking at the water. For most of the film, and it's just a bit dull.
It had that kind of dogma feel about it a bit, didn't it? Don't you think that kind of natural sound and stuff?
Well, I don't know if that was... It reminded me a lot of Funny Games, Michael Haneke. The look of it was extremely similar, and I thought it might take a nasty turn, like Party Games does.
Michael Haneke makes
Party Games.
Party Games.
Funny Games.
Well, Funny Games.
Because Michael Haneke usually makes light comedy, doesn't he?
Well, yes. But it certainly had the same look at it, and it looked like the same beach house, and it is just kind of glassier-like visual, very clear, very... So I wouldn't go dogma, because that kind of handheld and...
No, I think... I know what you mean.
This is like... classy looking. And the cult leader, for me, was a brilliant performance.
Absolutely.
But far too much like Charlie Manson, I thought.
Yeah.
He looks so much like him.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, do something a little bit different with it. It's just not that interesting doing what you're doing.
He was that kind of charismatic, apparently charismatic cult leader that you didn't really understand why he was charismatic, because he was like just a normal bloke, but then he had this sort of power over people and didn't really understand why.
Well, no, that's right. The movie had no... It's like these young girls would go and live in the house, and you think, why? Okay, even if they're drawn to the house, what on earth possessed them to stay? And it didn't explore that at all.
You know what? That's a really interesting point. You've mentioned that he didn't appear to be charismatic, and it came across in the film that that Martha was compelled to stay there by peer pressure. And yeah, it shouldn't have been peer pressure. It should have been the charismatic leader.
Yeah, it was, because her friend was obviously had been around and was actually probably quite complicit. A lot of went on. Mm. Was talking to through the other young ladies, young women who were being raped. Yeah. Oh, it'll be okay. This is your right page. It's an honour. This is an honour. Mm. Yeah. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. It gets better and you'll be fine. And then you want it. And it was all that. Was this woman doing this?
Yeah.
And she was the one who's putting the pressure on rather than. Then was it Nick? Was it his name?
Patrick.
Patrick, sorry.
But like when she runs away, quite early on in the film, she runs away, and someone from the cult sort of meets her in a cafe, and it's like, "Oh, see you then." Yeah. It's like there's no. It's like go on there. We don't care. Off you go.
Yeah.
On your way, then get a bus. Here's some money for the phone.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what?
There's no threat, was there?
No threat at all. And there's like one in the flashback. There's Dan's mentioned already, but the home invasion scene.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, if it kind of geared up and went that direction, as I thought it would do, you think, oh, this is quite interesting. But it didn't go there. It was like too self-consciously arty. It's like, oh no, we don't want to make a thriller. We want to make an art movie. Mm. It just got stench of art school about it, I thought.
See, I thought I was being very clever. And I thought, I know where this is going. Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. I was trying to figure out I was trying to figure out what's the Marlene part.
Yeah.
Martha's her real name. Marcy May is the name that he gives her.
Yeah.
Where does Marlene come in? And then I thought, I know where this is heading. Eventually, what's going to happen is she's going to be having such an awful time with her real family that she's going to go back.
Yeah.
And the cult leader is going to look at her and say, "You look to me like a Marlene."
That
will be her new name.
Like because he'd disassociate himself with the other person.
I thought, that's quite nice if that happens, but nothing remotely as interesting as that happens. Something like this film apparently took 20 days to shoot.
Yeah, no, it's very quick.
And it shows.
Oh, I
cost £1 million, I think, didn't it? It's very cheap.
I think it looks good.
I think it looked really good too.
I think it looks fantastic. Yeah.
It took 20 days to write, I would imagine. Durkin, the writer and director, this was this has been his only full-length.
He's only made one film, hasn't he?
Yeah. And one of his quotes, which I wrote down because rather smugly because I thought it would be amusing, is, "You can't write something to please someone." Mm. I thought,
Will he achieve that, didn't he?
Very much so.
He's never going to get hired by MGM, is he?
No, absolutely not. I was frustrated by this movie because there were some amazing performances across the board, and I was frustrated because it felt like there was a really, really good film here struggling to get out.
Yeah, I think if some producer, like in the Hollywood way, if some producer had taken it off the director.
Mm.
Added a third, because it had no third act. It had quite an interesting first act. The second act, a bit dull, I would say.
Yeah.
But that could have been recovered by a good final act where things happen.
Hmm.
And so it had a first act, quite good. Second act dragged. The end didn't have a third act. Nothing happened. It led up to something and then nothing at all.
Yeah.
It's.
So in terms of this film, then...
Better than Holy Smoke.
I would a colonoscopy is better than Holy Smoke. So, Mike, actually, I'll go to Mark first, because I think you're going to give us an interesting answer, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
I would say yes, because I actually quite liked it. It's not the best one we've ever seen in my life, but I think it's enough to interest me to watch it. I quite like the stillness of it all.
I'm not going to think you a fool for saying that, because I can totally understand how you've come to that conclusion. Mike, what about you?
I don't think I liked as Mark did, even though he didn't like it that much. I like it a little bit less. I wouldn't say it didn't work for me. It might work for some people, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, I don't think I would recommend it either. I would agree. Okay, so yes, definitely don't bother with Holy Smoke. Give this a go if you're desperate for something to watch. So, should we have DJ Mike music?
Oh, DJ Mike. Mike. Oh, yeah. I like that. In the house. Well, yes. You know, we don't just throw this together because the film is called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. So, I've got a track called Moya. So, unleash your inner goth with Southern Death Cult. Get me eyeliner on.
Yes, another musical choice from Mike there.
They're a good band, Southern Death Cult. I won't have anything said against it.
No, Southern Death Cult, then...
Then Death Cult, Death and Cult, then The Cult.
The Cult.
Yes, I saw...
I saw
The Cult a couple of times.
Oh.
And Death Cult played at the Pink Toothbrush when he was Crocs in about 1982, 83, yes. Something like that.
Walk down memory lane with Mark.
Okay, so shall we move on to our third and final film?
Yes. Mark. Right, yes, this third and final film is a film from 2014. It's called Faults. It's directed by Riley Stearns in his feature film debut, and as yet his only feature film.
Mm.
And stars his wife, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Leyland Orser, John Grease, Beth Grant, and a couple of other people. It's about a guy called Ansel Roth, played by Leyland Orser. And he is a writer and a specialist in cults.
Mm.
And he is a bit down on his luck. He's had sort of a problem with a book at one point. Lost the rights and, you know, hasn't got any money, and he's like trying to troll him around all these conventions and trying to sell his books, and about three people turn up, whatever. Anyway, one of these conventions, the first scene, he's set in a diner, and he's so down, he's like, he's trying to fraudulently use an expired voucher to pay for a meal, and it doesn't go very well. And he's chucked out. But anyway, at one point, he's giving a talk to about 15 people in a room, and he's about cults and about his book and how he exits people from cults and how he can help people remove people from cults. And he is approached by this couple who say that their daughter, who we find out later is played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is a girl called Claire, and she has been indoctrinated into a cult. And they offer him some money to kidnap her from this cult, and then extricate her from this cult. And he says, it'd take me so many days or a week or whatever, and he needs to talk to her, and he needs to talk her through psychologically and give her evaluation and try and get her removed from this cult.
Yeah.
And subsequently, she is kidnapped, and she's taken to this sort of motel room with an adjoining room where her parents are, and he's going to slowly introduce the parents to her at some point in a hope that that will spark something that will hopefully make her realise that being in this cult is a bad thing.
Mm.
And really, because of the way the film pans out, there's not a lot else you can say about the plot.
No, I'll agree.
No.
The first 5 or 10 minutes of this film, I thought, I'm not going to like this.
Hmm.
It was because the script and the delivery was quite mannered, I thought. And it was quite stagey and acty and sort of over-comedic in a way. And that first 10 minutes, I didn't really like. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But then as it progressed, and it was really by the introduction of Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I'm a fan of. I loved her in, she's great in Cloverfield, I think she's, Cloverfield Lane. I think she's great in Scott Pilgrim. It was the first thing I came across. I really like her in that.
Hmm.
And once she was introduced, and that dynamic between the Olsen character and the Claire character, I really, really liked the way they worked together. And the way then he introduced the mother and father in.
Mm.
And the way it progressed. And all I would say is, as it progresses, all is not as it seems, possibly.
Mm.
Mm. Yes. And by the end of it, I thought it was great. I really liked it, and I will watch it again. Mm. It made me laugh out loud at times. It was very funny. It was quite disturbing at times. There was bits in it you think, oh, really? That's really quite...
Yeah,
there's some really quite disturbing things going on there.
Mm.
And quite troubling. I thought the acting was, everybody in it was brilliant.
Yes, absolutely.
And the way that, particularly, I think, what's his name, the lead geezer?
Leyland Orser.
Leyland, yeah.
Is the actor.
Yeah, he was great in it, and I really liked him. But I thought Mary Elizabeth Winstead, she does undergo sort of a metamorphosis in this film, and the way...
Mm.
And the way she changes character in the film is really good. And I thought it was great. I really liked it. And I'm really happy that it was a film I'd never heard of, never come across before, that I've been introduced to. And it's a film I will return to because I thought it was very good.
I must admit, I think Leyland Orser's performance in it is amazing. Really, really good. He does such a great job. I was first... aware of his work because he's done loads of bits and pieces, but I was first aware of what's he done? Alien Resurrection. He's in all three of the Taken movies because he's Liam Neeson's special forces mate.
Oh, okay. So I have seen him there.
Yeah, and he's been in loads of stuff. But the thing that I remember him from, you know, sometimes you see a little bit part actor or character actor in a major film and they shine, and it was David Fincher's Seven.
Oh, was he in Seven?
Yeah. Do you remember, there's a woman that's killed and the deadly sin is lust.
Yeah.
And she's a prostitute.
Yeah.
And
be careful how you describe this.
Yeah, John Doe gives a man an implement that's okay. got a knife on the end.
Okay, yeah.
And he forces okay, him yeah, yeah, to yeah, yeah, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And you don't see any of it happen.
Mm.
All you find out about it is that there's this guy sitting there at the police station at the interview table with a blanket wrapped around him.
And that's him.
Explaining what's happened and absolutely breaking down and just in shock.
Yeah.
And that's Leyland Orser.
Okay.
And as soon as I saw him in that scene, it was like, this guy's really good. Who is he?
I think he's got a touch of the Bryan Cranston's about him, to be honest. I can imagine Bryan Cranston being in the part he played in this film.
Yeah.
Because he's got the same kind of feel, that kind of slightly manic in a way. Yes. A bit sort of slightly off kilter and not quite there with reality and really down on his luck and everything going wrong. Yeah.
He starts out to me as the obvious star of the show.
Mm.
But then Mary Elizabeth
Winstead. Yeah, she does really take over, doesn't she?
Also becomes the star of the show.
Yeah.
Fantastic performances. Mike, what did you think of Faults?
Well.
And by the way, I should say, and just in case we're slurring and not sounding very good, Faults, FAULTS, available on Netflix for free. Carry on, Mike.
Well, if you've got a subscription.
If you've got a subscription, yes.
So it's not free.
It's not
really,
free at all.
It's $6.99.
The man has still given it to us.
Nothing's free in this world. There's no such thing as a free movie.
Well, there is, but we won't talk about it.
No. Yeah, yeah. Mike.
Yeah, what?
You're itching to tell us what
Am
you
think.
Yes, I can see you've got reams of notes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. The plot is very, very similar to Holy Smoke.
Mm.
Yeah. But where Holy Smoke is...
Freudian slip there.
That's easy for you to say.
Is a pile of shiitake mushroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Faults is really good.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Oh, I'd not heard of it. In fact, I'd not heard of any of the three films we watched this month.
Okay.
When they were selected, I didn't select any of them, and it shows.
Because some of them are good.
This is by far and away the best of the three, and it would be up there in any choice of three films. It's really good. Mm. It's not the best in the world, I'd say it again. It's kind of got a hook into me that is making me think I want to watch it again, actually, by listening to you two kind of rave about it, because I wasn't ravey about it. Possibly it's the third film I watched of these other two tepid nonsenses, and so I was fed up of the cult theme by then. And so it took me a little while to warm up to it. But it's really, really good. And I think when you watch something in a kind of grumpy mood and it wins you over, that is a sign of something good. You know? The acting is superb. The script is superb. The whole film is shot, well, not the whole film, but the majority is shot in one motel room.
That's right.
And a lot of that is in the bathroom of the motel room. And it must have been done for like tuppence, ain't he?
Yeah,
but it doesn't actually feel like that.
No.
It does feel claustrophobic because that's what it's supposed to feel like. But it doesn't feel like cheap. It just feels really well-executed film. It starts off quite, not exactly light-hearted, but black comedy.
Yes.
And it gets blacker and less comedic as it goes along. And I agree with some Mark says a couple of times, which I'm not going to give away, but it's like,
it's quite sinister, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's so the one thing I'd criticise really is, for me, it got a bit the plot got a bit twisty turny near the end. I think I could have done without all the twisty turny stuff.
I think you're right.
Oh, well,
I don't disagree. Because I guessed.
So for me, it got twisty turny and a bit over twisty turny. But to be honest, when the film finished, I thought, I'm not going to like unravel that to think, okay, if she did this or he did that, then that wouldn't help, would they? And I thought, nah, it's such a good film. I don't want to unravel it. Mm. I don't want to unpick it. Mm. I want to think, yeah, it's a really jolly good film that is. I don't want to unpick it. So, yeah. I mean, that's thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds really good then. So that's a clear thumbs up. Like, we didn't even have to...
No, didn't go around the table. No,
everybody in agreement. So if you are going to watch one film about extricating somebody from a cult organisation,
yes,
it should be Faults.
Yes. Check definitely it out, because it's really worth your while watching
definitely
it.
Not Holy Smoke or Martha, Marcy, May, Marla. Well, potentially Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Yeah, I would say it's got some interesting points in it. Yeah.
It's got merits, but Faults, what a fantastic...
No Faults.
Little
See what I did there? Fantastic. Wow. Comedic genius,
well
mate.
Well worth a look. Right, you know what? That's us. Time has beaten us again.
Yes, it has.
Oh, the humanity. Mike.
One more piece of music then, is it?
Yes, go on, treat yourself.
Okay, well, here we go with a little bit, to finish, a little soupçon of doom metal.
Fantastic.
With Cult of Luna and Leave Me Here.
Oh,
see what I've done there? Yeah. Leave Me Here.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautifully done.
Shall we say our goodbyes then?
Let's say goodbye everybody, and we'll see you next month.
Bye-bye.
Have fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Cover your ears.